since everyone knows me, I'll just. But I work with the Cancer Surveillance Branch at CDC. And I'm going to be talking today about implementing electronic pathology reporting from a national laboratory to multiple state cancer registries. So first, just a little bit of background for the one person in the room that may not know it. So almost 1.5 million cancers are diagnosed each year in the U.S., and cancer surveillance serves as a foundation for national comprehensive strategy to reduce illness and death from cancer. I'm not going to read the entire quote to you, but there are 241 cancer surveillance systems or registries on all six continents that participate in the International Association of Cancer Registries as part of the World Health Organization. And this gives you a picture of cancer reporting in the U.S. So the National Program of Cancer Registries, which is housed or run out of the Cancer Surveillance Branch of CDC, has 45 state central cancer registries, two territories, and D.C., so for a total of 48 registries that we support. And then NCI, SEER, Surveillance, Epidemiology, and End Results Program funds a smaller number, and then we have a couple or a few that are joint. So why do cancer surveillance? Well, you know, as with most public health surveillance, we're advancing clinical, epidemiologic, and health services research. And I'm not going to read each of those bullet points to you, but you can see that we do much of the same sort of use of cancer surveillance data for improving public health. We guide planning and evaluation of cancer control programs, help set priorities for allocating health resources. So within the Cancer Surveillance Branch, we have a project called the National Program of Cancer Registries Advancing E-Cancer Reporting and Registry Operations, or ARRO. And this project is funded by CDC to collaboratively develop an electronic reporting model for cancer surveillance. So we develop recommendations, guidelines, diagrams, models. We are promoting the use of the electronic health record and electronic medical records to help improve cancer surveillance and improve the functions of the registries. We're looking at trying to increase electronic reporting and automated processing, and standardizing data, electronic data exchange wherever possible. So this gives you a little bit of an idea, and actually, real quick, it used to be called MERP, or Modeling Electronic Reporting Project. We realized that there was a need to expand, of course, beyond the modeling, which was sort of the first step, and that brings us to the approach that we use now and why we changed the name. So we start with modeling, where we develop best practice models for automating the processes and developing electronic reporting. And then we move on to analysis and design, where we analyze technology and infrastructure and the registry operations and develop products that support automation and electronic reporting. And then implementation, where we're coordinating, leading, and supporting software vendors, hospitals, and state registries to do pilot testing of models and products. And of course, this is an iterative process, so that's where the arrow goes back up to modeling. And we're never finished modeling. We improve our models based on the analysis, design, and implementation, et cetera. So the reason I give you that background is because the project that I'm talking about today, the ePath pilot project, is one implementation within the ARRO, the bigger ARRO project. So the ePath pilot project was started several years ago to implement a single standard electronic pathology reporting process that will meet the needs of most states. And many in this room know that laboratories often get requests from states to report this data in this format. And every state has a slightly different format, or maybe a vastly different format. And so this was saying, well, let's make it standard. Let's make it all the same, as much as possible anyway, to ease the burden on the labs and on the states, both. So we look at testing and documenting the implementation, adoption and or development of software for implementation where needed, and providing guidance to central cancer registries and path labs, both on the implementation. All the tools and lessons learned through this project are freely available. So this is sort of what I was just talking about, advantages. So what we're doing is we're just coordinating. So we're not receiving any data at CDC, of course. We're helping coordinate the states to communicate with the lab or and labs in future. So this enables us to have one single voice working with the lab, ensuring that there is a consistent message on development of the HL7 message and other processes as we go forward, minimizing the need to accommodate these state nuances that I was just talking about. So this can also help us build momentum to work with other labs, and we definitely plan to try to bring in, I think there might be one or two in the room, we really like to bring in other national labs especially. And this process can work with smaller labs too, but we're trying to focus on the big labs to get the most bang for the buck initially. So, we've made use of resources by utilizing existing CDC FIN infrastructure and tools where possible. So, the participants, we've got LabCorp, and we've got some LabCorp representatives here today to answer questions if needed. And we have NICFI participation, our program, National Program of Cancer Registries, our sort of umbrella and standard-setting organization within the cancer community, NACER, and then, of course, our state cancer registries, who are the ones that would be receiving the data. So we started with message creation and developed a standard message format. It's an HL7231ORU, and this format was actually developed with NACER, or NACER took the lead on this, to develop it as a standard for all of the cancer community. And they have different volumes that they develop for various standards. And so this is their Volume 5, Pathology Laboratory Electronic Reporting and ePath Reporting Process Guide to set that standard. We then worked with LabCorp to map their local data to the standard message format. And one of the things that had to be done is establish a filtering method to identify the cancer cases that need to go to the registries. So what we did with LabCorp was develop a standard ICD-9 CM case finding list, and this was done with significant input, really development by certified tumor registrars, to develop that list of which are the cases that need to be reported by the lab. There were some legal issues that were addressed with the different states and their different reporting laws, and there was a report that came out of a meeting related to that to help sort of iron out some of those issues. We put together a final report from the first phase of this ePath pilot project, and that's available on our website. And I didn't put the website up here, but I'm sure by the end I can tell you what that is. We started with New York, California, and Florida receiving and testing the initial LabCorp message in 2006. I'll get back to this in a second, but fast forward to 2009, and New York received an electronic message and validated this message with the paper pathology report in March of this year. LabCorp has corrected the majority of the issues that were identified through this process. There are a couple of small remaining issues, placement of the reviewing pathologist's name and formatting in the OBX segment. There are some extra characters, and I should mention that the tool that some of our registries have the option to use, called eMark Plus, which I'll get back to in a second, does handle this OBX extra character issue. So if they use eMark Plus, they don't need to worry about it. And LabCorp continues to work with us and with this ePath work group that has been used throughout this process to identify and resolve these message issues. So moving on to message transport. We use the CDC FINMS, or Public Health Information Network messaging system software, to securely transmit the standard messages over the internet. So we're working with FinMS installations that were already existing in some states, and in some states they actually, the registries installed FinMS themselves. But some of them didn't be able to use the FinMS installation that was already being used by, say, their NEDS or their EPI group or what have you. So they install the server and software at the health department. FinMS was, or actually the cancer data feed was integrated with the existing FinMS server at LabCorp. So LabCorp was already using FinMS for infectious disease lab transmission. So cancer data will be transmitted on a daily basis through this system. We currently have 24 states with FinMS connectivity completed and another 4 in progress. So next, the message processing. So we use the HL7 messaging workbench to test the conformance message with the standard. And this is what I was mentioning earlier. We had work in-house in our branch to develop a tool that was initially called Mapper Plus, but we renamed EMARC Plus because it does more than just the HL7 mapping or transforms. So it's electronic mapping, reporting, and coding. So it retrieves the message from your FinMS receiver queue. It identifies potential cancer cases. It builds a database of the pathology lab reports, provides functions for certified tumor registrars at the registry side to review and do additional coding of the information. And then it produces that file and an export in the NACER record layout so that it can be brought directly into the state cancer registry. And we've got plan enhancements for EMARC Plus that are available on the website. And also, we had an EMARC Plus poster, and we've got printouts of it in the back of the room. So if anyone wants to grab one on the way out, show some screenshots and some of the other information on the functionality, which it does some pretty neat things. So you can take a look at that. So where are we now? So as I said, FinMS is installed and tested in 24 states. We've got the 231 message developed and validated. LabCorp began transmitting ePath reports on a daily basis to some of the states starting on May 2009. 21 states are now receiving production data. Now, I should point out that when we say production, they are still continuing to do parallel with their traditional method, be that paper reporting or some other type of electronic. And they will individually decide when they're ready to turn that off. But all of them are getting live data, those 21. We've got 5 states in testing and another 2 states in planning configuration phase. And this is the map of those states. Oh, yes, and I did want to point out one other thing. There are states that the states have chosen to go forward in production, recognizing that there were those couple of small remaining issues that they felt comfortable going ahead and receiving data, knowing that those issues are still being worked out and that this is an ongoing process and that new issues could be identified and that we'll continue to work very closely, and we have a great working relationship with LabCorp that we can work through these issues. So some of the challenges that we did come across, the FinMS server at LabCorp was re-engineered in 2006, and this was one of the causes of some of the delays. Additionally, there were some issues identified with the fact that all pathology reports were transmitted to New York, California, and Florida in 2007 for that testing. There were some concerns with some of them about receiving all of the reports versus the specific cancer reports that are identified through that case finding list. So we had to sort of do some revision of the process there. And there were some staff and policy changes in various places in 2008, but of course those things always slow down the process. Some of the lessons learned, of course, keeping open communication with all parties involved in the process. And we have a very multidisciplinary team, and that's very important. And as I said, we really have a great communication with the folks at LabCorp, which really helps significantly. There are some times when we need to compromise, or the states need to compromise, understanding that, you know, being willing to accept the message with perhaps that one field that's still being worked through, for example. That we sometimes need to develop or adopt tools needed to address the issues, so we did have to develop and enhance eMark Plus to meet the needs of the project. Documentation is critical, and that leveraging resources can be helpful. And I think, let's see, yeah, next steps. So LabCorp will continue working with us to refine the reporting, to fix any identified message issues, also to do some potential new reporting of things like HER2-new and other biomarkers that are used in cancer. And we continue to meet on a monthly basis with the work group, which is all of those participants that we showed before. We continue to make enhancements to eMark Plus, including things like computer-assisted coding functionality. We continue to invite other state cancer registries to install CINEMS and join the project to receive data, and we definitely welcome, you know, like to have as many states on board as possible. We want to expand the same process to other national labs, as I previously mentioned, and we have been in contact with some and welcome the opportunity to work closely with these other labs and do the same process. And we are upgrading tools as needed to process a new 251 message, which will be an implementation guide will be coming out for that somewhat soon. I believe in the next few months, maybe?
It's imminent.
Next month. Yeah. Okay. So very, very, very soon. And so we'll be, you know, upgrading tools as needed to accommodate that. And that... Oh, that I didn't hear about.
It's in there.
Yep. Really? I didn't know that.
I know.
Oh, that's news to me. It's good to have some of the frontline folks in the room. That's all I've got, and I have a question. We're ready for questions?
We have 10 minutes for questions.
Great.
What are the barriers for those states that are in white that aren't participating? Is it just funding?
Sandy, go.
It was the pilot project in the beginning. We actually asked the states who would like to participate. So it was really the resources that were available within the state to actually work on it. And so what we've done, it actually started out with 18 states. And so what we've done is slowly expanded it. We're up to 28 states, I believe, now. And so we're looking for any states that are ready to come on and start working with us. We're
bringing
them
up.
So
we,
our goal is to get all states.
Do you have any state in the work that you haven't mentioned
yet,
sir?
Maybe one or two,
Vermont,
right? Yeah, Vermont.
One that I've talked with that we have not, you know, we're still working with them to move them forward.
I've talked with Washington.
Washington, I have not talked to Washington. So there's several
that
are.
Have talked to Montana?
No, they have not. So if you're back to your state,
yeah. Yeah, I was gonna say if you know if that would be great. Yeah, I was gonna say if there are folks here that, you know, are coming from another part of the public of the health department that wanna go back and encourage your registries to work with us, that would be wonderful. And this is my contact information, but I'll probably send them to Sandy, but that's okay. I can direct it. Oh, great. So that might fall right into place.
We've had a couple of states that, for a variety of reasons, could not go to CINEMS. And so, you know, while we have really tried to keep this project CINEMS for LabCorp's sake, and then to be able to transmit it to one tool, there are a couple that I've really tried hard to get to move over, and it's just not going to happen. So we don't want to keep it in the data. I mean, you know, and they're so the benefit. Yeah, so the benefit from the project is still that they're going to get the standard HL7 message.
Right.
And we have a couple states that we've not, you know, they're beginning to secure FDC.
There's actually a couple
infectious disease
that I mainly log into their system and upload.
Really, you upload those files?
Yeah, wow. It's not something I want to
do. I didn't know that.
We're not encouraging.
There's two states I mainly log into their system and upload. But our intent is to automate that.
Yes, Wendy?
I have a question related to that LabCorp is continuing on with monthly calls with us. And I think that's a part of just helping us flesh out the rest of the thing. Do we expect the same commitment from other laboratories as they come on? I want to reassure if there are any that may or may not be an ongoing thing for them once the message is in production.
I think it would probably depend on the lab. I think Carmen has felt that the calls have helped, but I think it depends on the lab and their situation and where they are in the state. I think the calls are beneficial if a state is having an issue with the message, rather than dealing just with that one state, Carmen can get that information out to all the states at one time, rather than dealing with each individual state, is to help get a consistent message out across the board. And I think that's what I think the calls have helped.
Yeah.
I think it's important to note, though, that if one particular state has an issue with the message and the other 27 states do not, that a change to the program changes it for all the states.
And that needs to be brought up. When you have state with this issue, you need to bring it up with all the states to say, okay, this is what, you know, X state has had an issue with,
and it's been
working. How is it going to impact all the other states? I know there's a national ELR call as well.
First Tuesday of every month, I believe. Third? Okay. Because I think it was this past week. It conflicts with another meeting I have. That's the only reason I know. So I can never be on them. What?
Since in the Fin, they're trying to move towards getting a single easy source of access to vocabulary in an electronically downloadable fashion out of VADS, no one's really spoken about taking all of the vocabulary in Volume 5. Packaged and put up so that you can just click and get download sets. So as labs come online, I mean, I'm sure, the LabCorp, right? I'm sure it would have been a little bit easier if you got an XML file or something with all those vocab tables rather than having to type them in, right?
I believe NACER is working on getting a lot of their stuff into FinMed.
I've got the source of all the vocabulary that's in Volume 5 in format. I've got it, so
yes,
I can give it to Sundag and it can be uploaded.
Great.
You don't have to type it in off the guide, because I've got
good.
That was generated on electronic files that I've got.
Right.
So.
Right.
Okay, great. Steve?
I know. How much commitment are we talking in terms of staff time from the registry, staff time from IT to get this to work?
I'll let Sandy answer that one too. Yeah.
The IT, because you've already got your FinMS set up. You have to set up a route. I'm talking FinMS deployment works with them. They have it done in like a couple of hours. Seriously. And I know in Washington State, you guys have very experienced FinMS folks there. And so we have, and where the states already have FinMS installed and using it for infectious disease, it's been very simple to turn it around and it's there. As far as the registry side of things, we have EMARC Plus, so you know the cancer registry people will be able to use that tool to read in that HL7 message, process the data, and then take that out to have it included in their registry software.
Right, and
what's the install time and learning curve for the EMARC Plus?
I'll leave that to Wendy or
Fiji. Yeah, the install time was like, you just download the software, and you click on a card, and a couple of things from the
first yet
installed. And,
that's too hard.
Yeah. All right, okay, I'm going to ask for the training. Okay, now, how difficult is it going to be to start
using
EMARC
Plus in order to move the file to a registered one? It's very simple to use, very non-technical ability to use it, so I can use it as a registrar under technical training. If your central registry is getting paper pathology reports, this will cut the time at least to a certain being able to handle things, because they don't have to be reviewing it, they won't have to be reading a whole pathology report to see what the diagnoses are, so it cuts quite a bit. If they're not getting any pathology report, they're going to be recording quickly because they're not going to do the data. And we've made it as simple as we can and offered as much that we have highlighting. We look for relevant cancer terms. We don't have to read the whole part, but we key in on what they are. We have expert systems that go through and do some of the coding and computer assisted to see if they can at least have the code available out of all this tech. You choose one of these three, and it tries to get the best one depending on that first. So it's a matter of where they're coming from. A workload to get new data in, which they should be getting because they have some. And if they're already getting those, it's much more interesting.
Thanks. Okay. Thank you.